For a show mostly about art and entertainment, I know we talk a lot about science. One reason is because we're dead set on trying to figure out how creativity works. There's some new research suggesting that if you want to be more creative, you may need to let yourself be unstimulated, unengaged. WNYC's Manoush Zomorodi is the host of the podcast New Tech City, and she has undertaken a project all about the intersection of boredom and creativity, which to me is not a bit boring.
So the way I started thinking about it was I suddenly realized, you know, I haven't really been bored in like 7 years. That was when I first got a smartphone.
Right.
And I sort of started, you know, thinking when I'm on the subway, I look at my phone. When I walk down the street, I look at my phone. Is that bad? Is there a consequence to not having that time when you literally are getting bored? So I sort of started snooping around, talking to scientists, and discovering what they call the default mode, which is a network in your brain. This was a term coined by Marcus Reichel in 2001. And they can now see that network in your brain on fMRIs that gets activated when you get bored, when your body is not being stimulated in a way physically, but your brain is supposedly idle. It's actually not idle.
And by the way, we didn't used to call it bored in the pre-smartphone day. We just called it walking around thinking, whatever, daydreaming, right? I mean, boredom, of course, makes it sound
negative. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, there's semantics to it, right? Because
yeah.
On the one hand, you say bored and you think melancholy and depressed.
And soul-crushing job that I don't like going to.
And you know what? The researchers say actually most people who call themselves bored are indeed on the depressive side.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
Other people like Jerome L. Singer, psychologist, renowned psychologist, coined the term the positive constructive daydreaming.
Right.
And that's
right.
When your brain gets bored and you start to do things like problem solve.
Yes.
And have original thinking and do something called autobiographical planning, where
yes.
You make sense of all the things that are happening to you in your life and you set your goals and you figure out ways of getting to those goals.
It completely makes just intuitive, anecdotal sense to me when I'm at the gym, when I rarely am at the gym, or just walking around or whatever, taking a shower. That's when, if I ever have a good idea, that's when the good idea happens.
And Kurt, presumably, I mean, you're Kurt Anderson, so you have trained that muscle to, like, happen, right? But what about kids who haven't
right.
trained that muscle,
right.
who are looking at their phone all the time? So I sort of wanted to talk to some of the scientists about what is happening when our minds get bored? So one of the people that I spoke to is Johnny Smallwood. He is a neuroscientist in the UK, and he studies exactly that, something that is called mind wandering.
If you wanted to build a robot, for example, your simple idea might be that, well, actually, when the robot's finished doing its actions and its tasks, if you like, then what it would do is just sort of go into sort of like a standby mode where it would conserve energy. And it seems like that's definitely not what the brain does. Because when we ask people to lie in the scanner and just sort of like look at a fixation cross, for example, what the brain does is exhibit very organized, spontaneous activity. And we don't really understand why it's doing that. And we believe that it's somehow related to this experiential correlate, which is when you're given nothing to do, it certainly seems that your thoughts don't stop. They continue to generate, you continue to generate thought even when you're sort of like when there's nothing for you to do with the thoughts, if that makes sense.
And so this default state is what we all experience when we're just walking around not looking at our phones?
When we allow ourselves to go there. But I think what they're saying is there's different measures of this, right? And so this took me – I wanted to know, like, well, just how bored do you really have to be? So – this brought me to actually another scientist, a psychologist, Dr. Sandy Mann, who's at the University of Central Lancashire. She did a test to try and see when do the most creative ideas come out? What has to happen? She took a group. She tried to think of the most boring task she could possibly give them. And she had them copy the phone book for 20 minutes. And then she gave
them – they still have phone books in England, I guess.
Some people. And then she gave them two cups. And she said, you know, come up with as many ideas as you possibly can for these two cups.
Uh-huh.
And they came up with ideas like use it as a planter or put special liquids into it. They kind of came up with ideas that made sense for
uh-huh.
a cup. Then she had another group just read the phone book for 20 minutes. They got really, really bored. And that is when the divergent thinking started. And they came up with earrings and a phone and musical instruments and a Madonna cone bra. So to her, it sort of showed you got to get pretty bored, and that's when the magic happens.
Now, I know you have a couple of kids. I do too, but mine are adults, so my work is done. But I do remember when I was a child, and of course, childhood itself, in retrospect to me, and at the time, had these long swaths of boredom.
Oh, yes.
And but now my memories of childhood are made up. There's this whole sensory set of memories that were boredom, but they're rich memories. And you wonder, like, has that become obsolete for Western humans?
I worry about that immensely. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old who, the minute they get a sense of feeling bored, want my phone. And I'm ashamed to say, very often hand it over, because I think American adults have lost the ability to listen to belly aching. If you're on an airplane and your kid is complaining, the dirty looks you get around you saying, hand the kid a phone, for goodness sake, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember my parents just being like, tough luck, you're bored. There's a very vivid memory I have, 8 years old. I went around the entire house and collected all the houseplants, set them up, put name tags on all of them, and then made a concert for them. I don't think my kids
would do that.
Absolutely no good reason. But
I think there's an app where you can do that.
Yeah, right? And we joke about it, but we kind of do everything on our phones now. One of the people I spoke to is Alex Peng. He's written a book called The Distraction Addiction. And he actually went and talked with some Buddhist monks who are on the internet, on social media. But they saw this addiction thing really differently.
What they always came back with was, all right, why is it that you think that technologies are any more distracting than your own mind or anything else in the world? Distraction, they said, is an internal problem. Distraction comes from within. It comes from craving. It comes from all the various other sort of ailments that Buddhism seeks to address.
That sounds exactly right. And maybe it doesn't require the discipline of Buddhist monkdom, but it sounds like it's applicable and actionable for all of us, maybe.
Yeah. And I hope that, you know, this idea of mindfulness has really become mainstream.
Yeah.
Why can't this idea of using your technology thoughtfully also become mainstream?
Absolutely. So on your podcast, New Tech City, you've decided to try to both measure and do something about what you see as this general threat to creativity that our cell phones pose.
There's no proof there that there are indeed science, you know, they can't show the causality of looking at smartphones disrupting our creativity. But that is the hypothesis. So we decided to come up with this idea of Bored and Brilliant, the project that we're working on, to give people a chance to see what it is like when they decide to take control of their phone habits. Does it trigger or trip any creativity in them?
And ironically, again, it involves an app.
Well, because nothing these days doesn't, right? So what we've done is we have partnered with an app that's called Moment. And it not only does it measure how much time you spend on your phone, but it measures how many times you pick it up just to check it.
Really? So it knows that. You put this app on your phone and all the time it's saying, another time.
Yep.
So how is this all going to work as a project?
The very first week of February, we have a week of challenges. Every day, someone will get a challenge. So, for example, the very first day is called Put It in Your Pocket. When you are in transit, you are not to look at your phone. Your phone is not going to be there. And then as we go through the week, we're going to start giving them assignments to sort of help them be creative in some way. We're going to ask them to get bored and then complete an assignment.
And seeing if there's a reward for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be. That's our hypothesis.
Good. You're doing God's work. Manoush, thanks very much.
Oh, it's great to be here.
And come back and tell us how it all works out.
Oh, I will. Are you going to do it, Kurt?
I'll maybe. Sure.
Don't be scared. Come on.
No. Yes, I will do it. I promise.
Okay. Oh, please put the phone down.
Oh, please put the phone down. Manoush Zomorodi is the host of the podcast New Tech City. You can find out more about this project, Bored and Brilliant, at studio360.org and find out how you can take part. Oh, please put the phone down.